You are live with Get Connected. Mike Agarbo here with my co-host, Gray Williams. We have a great program for you today. Our show is all about the world of technology and demystifying some of the techier things. Today, we'll be talking about AI. It's a hot topic. It's really kind of bubbled up over the past year, especially with the advent of some of these text-to-image engines like Midjourney.io, ChatGPT as well. A lot of people are using it in their jobs and personal lives now, and it's made a huge difference. But there are people that are concerned about where it's all going. And some are concerned about human extinction if AI gets too powerful, almost like a bad movie. So we're going to talk a bit about that. Also, I had a chance to talk with the folks over at Cadillac. I got my hands on one of the new Cadillac Lyrics for the past week. It's their first electric vehicle, and I'll tell you my thoughts, and we'll talk with the Cadillac folks about where they're all going with that as well. And finally, tech hacks. This week, what to do with an old iPad or tablet that just doesn't cut it anymore. Well, you don't have to recycle it. There's still some good uses for it. We'll tell you some of the top five ones that we've come across. Thanks for coming on the program today, Gray.
Always glad to be here.
Let's start off with some of the tech news that we've been following. Elon Musk, the man that is into everything. He has SpaceX, a rocket company. He's got Tesla, the electric vehicle company. He's owner of Twitter now. And he also has another company called Neuralink. And this is a company that's dedicated to developing technology that can be basically implanted into humans to help overcome issues like mobility, people that are paralyzed or that can't see. Well, he's finally got the go-ahead from the FDA down in the US to start conducting human experiments, because up until this point, it's just been on animals like monkeys. What are your thoughts, Gray?
I mean, it's a fascinating technology. You know, I fear anytime we have this much consolidation of awesome underneath one person, especially when that person seems to be, you know, a little easily distracted and also easily angered. You know, between all of these things, Elon is probably the closest thing that we've had to a Bond villain. Seems to be like a good guy most of the time, but a lot of the time you're just like, okay, you just had a temper tantrum and you have satellites that are in space that you can crash into a city. This worries me a little bit. But then he goes and does, you know, magnanimous things like, we're going to be able to help people walk again. You know, looking at this, now, I've said on the show before that all of Elon's technologies kind of build together to create colonies on other planets. This is actually very similar to the technology used in Avatar for them to control the Avatar bodies, right? This idea of a brain-computer interface. So, I mean, I love the fact that this guy's making science fiction come to life. Absolutely love it. Also, slightly terrified.
It is a little terrifying. And, you know, coming up in our next segment, we will be talking about AI and where that's going and why some of the leaders in AI technology are concerned about it as well. Like, what are some of the downfalls if we don't keep check on it? So, to your point, Gray, I am excited that, you know, the technology is moving forward, technology that, you know, can potentially be implanted in people's brains and bodies to help them walk again or see again. So I'd love to see where that all goes. But again, it's something that we do have to keep a check on. Another interesting story, I don't know if you saw this, Gray. You know, we do a lot of stuff with websites, you know, registering domains, you know, like the .coms and what have you. Well, in Maryland, in the U.S., they printed 800,000 license plates. I guess they were commemorative ones that celebrated the war of 1812. I don't know why you'd want to celebrate that. Didn't they lose?
I think we did kind of head down there and make them have to repaint that one house white. So, yes.
Yeah, did we burn it down, the White House? Yeah.
Burn the White House, yeah. It's actually why it's white now. So,
so
you're welcome.
This is, it's kind of funny. So this license plate, like I said, they've got, they printed 800,000 of them. And on it, it celebrates the War of 1812. It's got the American flag. And then it's got a web address on the bottom, Gray. And the web address is www.star, spangled200.org, which I guess was supposed to go to a website that taught people how one of Maryland's own, Francis Scott Key, who wrote the Star Spangled Banner, to learn more about him. But anyway, I guess they've lost that domain, and now it goes to a Filipino gambling site.
Oh, say can you see?
Yeah, so literally there's 800,000 of these license plates in Maryland advertising a Philippine gambling site.
You can't buy this kind of marketing. This is great.
It's amazing. Isn't it?
I think what happened here, and this happens often, let this be a warning to, you know, business owners everywhere. If you're not really tuned in to, you know, maybe some of the key members of your team who might control some parts of this, perhaps, you know, you don't give them a raise, you don't take care of them, suddenly now your URL is pointing to a website that might be a little less savory than you'd hope. They rolled the dice on this one. It looks like they lost.
It is an important thing, you know, especially if you're a business like, you know, our business, Gray, we've actually registered a bunch of different domain names. We don't use all of them, but, you know, for the ones that you do use, it's probably important that you just kind of keep them. It's not much to kind of keep the domain name, even if you're not using it anymore, right?
Yeah, well, here's the key thing. If you register through like a big domain company, they tend to give you like really cheap deals, right, for the first couple of years, and then they jack up the rates really high. So finding yourself a good local domain company, there are people, you know, in each major city that will take care of domains for you. They'll re-register them up to 5 years in a row. You can also get things like domain protection, which is, you know, up to 30 days after your domain has expired. If you haven't paid, it'll still hang on to it for you, so you can get credit cards in there and get those done. I think I've got something like 60 or 70 domains that I've kind of acquired over the years that I've got.
Oh my God.
A fairly cheap plan.
Yeah.
You know, I've got some like my name. I've got some ex-girlfriend's domains names. I really should transfer those over. But
yeah, that's, you know, not good.
Yeah, no, they're just sitting there parked.
Let's move on to some other tech news. And you might not think tech when it comes to braking, like your car brake, but the U.S. is now going to require that all new vehicles have super robust automatic emergency braking. So this is kind of something that a lot of the light duty vehicles on the road today down there actually have. It's called automatic emergency braking. And so this new rule, which has been proposed by the U.S. Department of Transportation, would take that on to pretty well most vehicles, cars, and things like that. And the idea is, if they can implement this, especially by 2025, it'll help prevent, this is a big number, Gray, 28,000 crashes and 12,000 injuries down there.
That sounds brilliant. You know, this takes me back to like innovations like the seatbelt, or, you know, the steel bar on the back of cargo trucks. Jane Mansfield famously was killed because of a tractor trailer where her vehicle went underneath. These are safety advantages that we've got the technology for. There really isn't a reason not to do it. You know, maybe cost, but the cost of human life, I think, kind of exceeds this. So what a great change in regulation, and kind of shows how regulation can actually be extremely helpful, especially in areas of transportation.
It's important, right? Because the technology is there now, Gray. Sensors, cameras, they've become very inexpensive, and they are being integrated into vehicles. So being able to use that to obviously track what's happening around the vehicle and when you're driving will make a tremendous, tremendous difference. And, you know, there's interesting stats here. Like, they say that more than 70% of pedestrian fatalities occur at night. That's not a surprise, is it? So if you've got the sensors and cameras that can detect those pedestrians and have automatic braking, you are going to save lives, no question.
Can I gripe for just a second? So here on the West Coast, things get wet at night. Why is the paint that we use next to invisible when it's wet? This is something that I'd like to see change. There are actually highly reflective paints out there that we're not using on the road. Now, here's the thing. If I've got a computer that can see this, great, but I can't see a damn thing out there at night. I'm all for electronic braking.
Okay, you are tuned in to Get Connected. Mike and Gray here. I want to give a shout out to something that we've been working on, Gray. You know, we're very into tech. I love tech when it comes to healthcare as well. I had a recent opportunity to create a webisode for one of the TELUS funds that they give to local communities and producers. And this is around caregivers, Gray. And my parents are aging. They're in their 80s and I'm their primary caregiver. So the webisode, and hopefully we'll be able to produce some more, is all about using technology to help care for aging parents and family members. You know, things like wearables and automatic pill dispensers. So if you go to our website, getconnectedmedia.com, I'd really like your help. And we're going to tie a contest around this as well, Gray. On our front page, we are going to have a link to the video. It's up on YouTube. If you just watch it and leave a comment, anything, whether you like it, you love it, if you've got your own thoughts, if you're caring for your elderly family, you know, some of the things that have worked for you from a technology standpoint, I'd love to hear it. And again, it's so easy to comment right on that YouTube video. At the end of next week, we're going to actually pick one of those comments and one of the users, Gray, and we're going to give away a beautiful TCL smartphone, a 5G smartphone.
Nice.
Yeah. Beautiful screen, amazing camera. Again, just go to our website, getconnectedmedia.com, right there on the front page. Check out the Independence Days, it's called. It's all about using tech to care for your elderly family. And I'd love for you to comment on that and get a chance to win a TCL smartphone. When we come back from the break, we are going to talk about AI. And will it lead to our extinction? Some AI leaders are concerned about this. We'll tell you why. You're listening to Get Connected here on the Chorus Radio Network. Back after this. You are back with Get Connected. Mike Agarbo here with Gray Williams. Still got a lot to talk about. Are you in the market for an electric vehicle? Well, I've just had a chance to check out the new Cadillac Lyriq. This is their entry into the electric world. And I will give you my thoughts. And we'll talk with the folks over at Cadillac about some of the technology behind the car as well. And whether you should look at getting one or not if you were in the market compared to some of the other ones out there like the Teslas. And tech hacks. This week, what to do with an old iPad or tablet that just doesn't have the juice anymore? Well, you don't have to recycle it. There are some other cool things you can do with it. We'll give you our top five tablet hacks. Let's talk about AI again. And, you know, as we said earlier, Gray, AI is just a huge story this past year. It's just kind of really gathered momentum with all the different tools that are available. And it just seems to be growing beyond exponentially. You know, a lot of people are just feeling they can't keep up or catch up. Well, some of the leaders in the space, Gray, are concerned about AI and where it's going. There is a webpage for the Center for AI Safety. And on that webpage, they have a statement that they've published. And it says, mitigating the risk of extinction from artificial intelligence should be a global priority. Just let that sink in your head. Mitigating the risk of extinction from AI should be a global priority alongside other societal scale risks such as pandemics and nuclear war, it reads. And this has been supported by some surprising people, right? One of them is Sam Altman, the chief executive of ChatGPT maker, OpenAI. Demis Hazabis, he's the chief executive of Google DeepMind, and others. I'm a little concerned when the leaders in AI are concerned about this, aren't you?
Very, very much. And so it's interesting the things that they picked to compare it to. You know, climate change is, I mean, science is done on that one. If you feel like it's not, you're part of the problem. But we know that it's an issue. And we know that while things are dangerous there, we can start, we're working on walking them back. Nuclear war is an interesting one as well. Have you ever heard of things called orphan sources?
Orphan sources?
Yeah, these are radioactive things that find their way out into the world. You know, cesium, different types of materials that, because they're radioactive, because they're so dangerous, they shouldn't be outside of labs and they should be outside of equipment, but they get out there and people get hurt because of them. we can detect these things because of things like Geiger counters. You can't do that with AI, right? This is a genie of which there is no bottle that can really contain it. And so looking at it, you know, this could be one of the greatest existential threats that we've ever faced. This is software that could self-propagate, that could cut us off of systems that are important. We think of our infrastructure. You know, there's something called air gapping, right? Which is basically where you take sensitive systems and you disconnect them from networks in the internet so that they can't be invaded or they can't be attacked. Not a lot of our infrastructure is like that anymore. A lot of it is no longer air gapped. So when we look at this, we have AI, this thing that doesn't need to sleep, doesn't need to eat, probably doesn't really understand emotion. As it continues to grow, looking at the human condition and where do we fit in? You know, you talk about bad movies, great movies are written about this as well. Like things like The Matrix, where what's our place in this world? Things like The Terminator, what's our place in this world? So, you know, even Westworld, you think back to Yul Brynner, the unstoppable killing machine cowboy that's coming after you. AI without rules and regulations, AI that perhaps doesn't have morals, this could be, again, be the greatest threat that humanity's ever faced.
I want to go through some of the possible disaster scenarios that they have said. This is again from the Center for AI Safety. Number one, AIs could be weaponized, and they're talking about, for example, drug discovery tools that could potentially be used to build chemical weapons. You know, we've seen how fast AI is in creating things, like amazingly so. That's not a stretch. Another one is AI-generated misinformation that could destabilize society and undermine collective decision-making. Again, we know that it's already being used for that, for social campaigns. Also, the power of AI could become increasingly concentrated in fewer and fewer hands, which could enable regimes to enforce narrow values and use pervasive surveillance and oppress censorship. Again, that's not a stretch to imagine that, is it, Gray? And finally, this is my favorite, enfeeblement, where humans become dependent on AI, similar to the scenario portrayed in the film WALL-E. Do you remember that that movie?
By and large, yeah, I certainly do.
It's basically about the future where the Earth has been kind of destroyed by humans, and the remaining ones kind of live on these big space cruisers / yachts, and they just float around in these floating chairs and just kind of eat all day. But I mean, it's not a stretch to imagine that, is it?
It's not. Now, the question becomes, you know, when we've got things that can do the labor for us, why as a species would we want to have to continue to work? Do we just devote ourselves to art, to culture, to the expansion of the human mind? I hope so. Maybe our extinction is actually the fact that we become one with this thing. Very Star Trek, the motion picture, but that might be cool. Neuralink, I'm into it.
You're tuned in to Get Connected. We're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to chat about the latest electric vehicle on the market from Cadillac, and it's pricey, but not as expensive as you might think. And tech hacks. We're going to tell you what to do with old tablets or iPads to give them a little extra juice. Back after this. You are back with the program. Mike Agarbo here in studio. We're going to talk car tech now. You know, I've probably said a million times on this program, I'm a big proponent of EV technology, electric vehicles. I drive a Tesla Model 3. I've had one since 2019. I love it. It's just been fantastic from a driving experience and just cost perspective as well. I have typically like a 45-minute to an hour commute each way here in Vancouver to my studio. As you can imagine, it has saved me a lot on gas over the years. I get to try out, different electric vehicles from time to time. And I had the opportunity to check out the new Cadillac Lyriq. And I want to talk to you about my experience and to help us learn a little bit more about their entry into the EV world. I've got a great guest on the line. His name is Jamie Dewhurst. He is with GM Cadillac. Thanks for joining us, Jamie.
Mike, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
First of all, it's an amazing car. I get to try, different EVs. And this one just kind of really stood out for me. I think the price, just so people know what, we're dealing with here, EVs are still kind of in the upper range as far as price. Am I correct in saying it's about 70,000 retail right now in that range?
Yeah, I think if you're driving a 23 model year, I believe I know the one that you've got testing, Mike, and that probably is around 72,000 when you add on the extra wheels, give or take.
Give or take.
Yeah.
So I had a chance to drive this for a full week, which is great. It's a good chance to really kind of take it through its paces. A few things I noticed right out of the gate. Very luxurious. Obviously with the Cadillac name, you've got something to live up to there. But also the range on it, I appreciate it. It was over 500 kilometers when I picked it up. And I compare that to my Model 3, and on a good day, if I go right to 100%, I think I'm up at around 340. So the extra 150 kilometers or so of range makes a big difference, doesn't it?
It really does, Mike. And we use the term range anxiety a lot to kind of describe that feeling that some people have when they're debating going from a gas powered vehicle to an EV. And for us, being able to have the Lyriq have up to 502 kilometers of range, helps with that. It makes road tripping the vehicle easier. It means you probably go all week if you're just scooting around town. You might go a week without having to charge. Being able to, for myself, I was up in Ottawa a couple of days ago with the Lyriq, and I live just outside of Toronto, and I was able to get to Ottawa on a single charge, and with room to spare. So having the car road trippable, having that car is something that you can transition from gas without having to worry about range. It's a big deal, and I think we nailed it with what the Ultium platform, the Ultium battery platform, was able to accomplish with this car.
If I was comparing it to, the Tesla model lineup, where would you be competing in that lineup? I have the entry-level Model 3. They also have the Model S that they've had for a number of years, which is kind of, like 100,000 plus, by the time you add stuff in. And the Model X, which is kind of more their SUV. Is the Lyriq kind of a crossover model?
I would definitely say we look at it as a crossover and SUV. I would say trying to find a comparable Tesla, the Model Y is probably something that is pretty similar in exterior dimensions, and both cars are primarily five seaters. I know Y has the option for the rear seats, but Lyriq doesn't. But we kind of look at the Model Y as probably the closest Tesla in terms of comparison, but certainly when you look at Model 3s as well, like they can, from a price perspective, they can certainly be optioned up, into a price point that gets, at or above what a Lyriq could be too.
Yeah. When you kind of, and I know that, that is kind of up there in the range, the $70,000, but when you do kind of compare it into like a Model Y, or, even the Model S, it's pretty price competitive, like for a luxury brand, isn't it?
It absolutely is. That was, again, another, kind of a big win for us launching this car, Mike, was being able to pack in all the features, that you see in the one that you're driving, as an example, 500 kilometers of range, super cruise functionality, the big 33-inch LED screen, 1 billion colors that can display, 1 billion with a B, the AKG system, 19 speakers, and have all the styling that comes with that. And we're still able to, go to market with a car that starts, low $70,000. Like that's a pretty compelling package, something that we're pretty excited about, and our consumers and our dealers are saying the same thing.
It's kind of funny because after driving it for a couple days, and don't get me wrong, I love my Tesla, but it made me feel like I have like an IKEA car. Like IKEA, they're kind of minimalist.
Yeah.
Nice, but night and day difference. Like when I even like opening the door to the Cadillac, it feels solid and good. And when you're driving it, you don't hear outside noise. It's like butter. It's just smooth.
It is. It's you can have a conversation at normal indoor, you know, audio levels, right? Like you can have a nice conversation with the person next to you and you're cruising down the highway. You speak to the luxury and the design. Obviously that's a hallmark of Cadillac. It's something that, you know, we instill in all of our products, whether it's EV or combustion. So like design is a big element. I think that's something that really helps Lyriq stand out from the crowd. Like when you approach the car and the lighting sequence, you know, kicks off and kind of greets you as you approach, or, you know, says goodbye to you as you walk away. It's little details like that just add to that ownership experience, add to that enjoyment for owning the car. Like you kind of look back at your car and you smile as you walk away. That's a sign that you kind of nailed it from a design standpoint.
I think you have on this one, because every time, like in my driveway, I can't tell you how many new neighbors I've met that just wanted to come by and sit in the car. And every time I went somewhere and parked, every single time there would be people coming up and wanting to check it out. And just kind of see, the inside and you know, what it was all about. So it's kind of unusual. Like I don't get that when I was driving a Kia, for an example. Don't get me wrong, the Kia EVs are amazing. Yeah. Great price point on them, but definitely Cadillac has a lot to live up with to the name, and I think you've kind of nailed it with this one. Let's talk some of the tech there. You mentioned Super Cruise. So in Teslas, and I know a lot of vehicles now, they're trying to come up with the auto steering. You have your own version of it. Maybe walk us through what it can do and what it can't do.
Sure. So Super Cruise was the industry's first true hands-free driving assist technology. So when you're activating Super Cruise, your hands they're on your lap. They're resting, on the armrest. They're not having to touch the steering wheel. There's no capacitive requirement. There's no torque-based requirement to keep the system functional. As long as you're paying attention to the road ahead, the system is active on the roads that it's compatible with. But speaking of compatible roads, we made a recent update that expanded that list to over 640,000 kilometers of mapped roads in the US and Canada. So our first wave focused on divided highways. So think of your classic kind of, 100 kilometer an hour, 110 kilometer an hour type highway. That was where Super Cruise kind of first, made its mark in the industry. This second wave that got us up to the over 640,000 kilometer number is starting to add the secondary highways. So think of, like a non-divided 80 kilometer an hour road that would kind of take you through parts of, like rural BC or rural Ontario. So that functionality continues to expand. And that was all done over, some cases these cars got over the air updates to expand that usage. And honestly, it's just a relaxing way to drive long distances. You're still focused and paying attention. The car won't let you take a nap. It won't let you, start watching something on your phone. You have to keep your eyes focused on the road. We have cameras and sensors that are monitoring that.
Yeah, I found that out. Yeah. No, I mean,
everyone,
yeah, it was excellent because if I did take my eyes off the road for a period of time, it automatically turned that off and told me, get your act together.
Yep, gives you a little bit of a slap on the wrist there to keep focused, but it's all in the name of safety. GM has a goal of zero emissions, zero crashes, and zero congestion, and that's just one element of how we're trying to accomplish that. Great hands-free driving technology that's safe. It works, and I'm telling you, if your listeners haven't had a chance to drive a car with Super Cruise, they have to, because 2 hours can go by just like that, and you honestly show up refreshed, more relaxed, at the end of the journey, and it's a big satisfier for customers. Those that have the feature in the Cadillac today, they want that in their next vehicle.
So that was my only complaint about the car, because again with the Tesla, I've got the basic auto steer. So the auto steer mm-hmm. seemed to work in the Tesla on more of the roads. But you're saying there's mm-hmm. over-the-air updates happening that are always updating how many roads this can handle. But the one feature that does put it ahead of the the basic Tesla auto steer is that it'll do lane changes for you.
Absolutely. It'll so you have the choice. You can have it done automatically. So in that case, if you set your speed at, say, you're going 110 down the highway and you come up against somebody who's only doing 100, the car will sense that. It will activate the turn signal. It'll wait until there's a space that's safe to do so, make the lane change, pass that car, and take you back into the right lane. If you prefer to initiate that on your own, you can turn that functionality off. And all you still have to do is just put a one touch on the turn signal, and then the car takes care of the rest, and then another touch to take you back into the right lane. So you have the option to do both. It's just super convenient to be able to have the car kind of take care of that for you. And I will add, we have some vehicles, I know this is a conversation about Lyric, Mike, but the Escalade can handle all of that while trailering as well. So we Super Cruise can even expand its functionality into
while you're towing
While you're towing. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
that would change my life. No, I mean, but if you want that feature in a Tesla, I forget, like it's like $6,000 or $7,000 more to get the next level of that. So the fact that you've kind of got it hard baked into the this model here, I think is extreme value. Just want to quickly touch on you've got Google integration with the car as well. I mean, yes, you can have Apple CarPlay and the Google version of that, but you've actually got Google hard baked into it.
We do, and what's great about that, I mean, like the first obvious benefit is from a navigation perspective, like the user interface with Google is well known. I mean, like everybody is probably using it on a regular basis, whether through its, Android Auto or Apple CarPlay or just on your phone, in general. So having that baked into the car, especially, you've got this nice big map on the 33-inch display. You can sync your account if you have one, so your favorite locations are automatically, synced into the car. Probably the element that I would say is the most impactful for somebody, especially if you're flipping over from a gas vehicle to an EV, is Google will also, in conjunction with Google and the car's system, internal systems, you put in a destination on the map, and it will give you an estimate as to what battery life you'll have at the end of your trip. So, for example, for me driving up to Ottawa earlier this week, I knew that I was going to arrive with about 35-40% left. So that takes a little bit of that anxiety away. So if you're kind of new to the EV game, that you don't have to, roll down the windows, turn off the AC, turn the volume down on the car to save every electron. It takes all the guessing game out of it. You know exactly how much you're going to arrive with. You can put in a destination as a charger. It'll precondition the battery when it needs to. It's a really well integrated system that works with the car, all in the name of just making driving an EV easy.
We're talking all about the new Cadillac Lyric. We got Jamie Dewhurst on the line with us. God, there's just so many other things that I really enjoyed about it. Again, I mean, I know a lot of listeners are thinking, oh, it's $70,000, but it is a Cadillac. GM, obviously heavily invested into the whole EV world as well, and coming out with different types of vehicles, in lower price ranges, which we will talk about, of course, as well. Jamie, where can people find out more information about the Lyric?
Looking for more information, you can go to CadillacCanada.ca. We've got a lot of great resources there. We've got more resources on our YouTube channel, kind of how to live with an EV, how to live with your Lyric. And then obviously, if you want to check out one in person, we've got a Cadillac network that spans from coast to coast. And a lot of our dealers are starting to even put Lyrics into demo service. So there's even a chance where if you want to try one for yourself, you get that opportunity as well.
I got to go back to my IKEA car. Thanks, Jamie.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. All the great things you're saying, I could listen to that all day, Mike.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
When we come back from the break, have you got an old iPad or tablet? We're going to give you 5 hacks on getting a little extra life on that particular device to make it useful again. You're listening to Get Connected here on the Chorus Radio Network. Back after this. You're back with Get Connected. Mike Agarbo here with Gray Williams. Don't forget to go to our website, getconnectedmedia.com. giving away a TCL 5G smartphone. It is gorgeous, an amazing camera, amazing screen. All you have to do is watch a cool video that we've done. It's a series called Independence Day. We've done that for the TELUS folks. It's all about using technology as caregivers to help look after aging parents or loved ones. In the episode, it's all about using things like Apple Watches and automatic pill dispensers to keep everyone connected and give more independence to your aging folks. And all you have to do is watch the video and leave a comment. And we're going to pick one of the commenters in the following week to give away that phone. Let's talk about old tablets and iPads, Gray. You know, technology marches on. Time marches on. And we know that technology gets outdated. And when that happens, especially with iPads or tablets, a lot of the newer apps just won't work anymore. And that's kind of frustrating, but that's just kind of the life of tech. So what do you do with that old tablet or iPad? I guess one of the big things for me, Gray, would first one, and we're going to talk about our top five here, is turn it into a digital photo frame.
Yeah, I love this feature. This is something, it's just such a great way to kind of consolidate family memories into one really cool spot. We're actually using this with iCloud Shared Library. So basically, you can invite people to contribute to that, and only those pictures that are contributed will show up on that album. It's a really great way to kind of bring the family together.
Number two, you can use it as a baby monitor or home security. And this is kind of cool. There's an app for the Apple App Store. You know, I'm sure there's similar ones on the Android side as well for Google. It's called the Luna app, and it'll connect any two iPads or iPhones and turn them into baby monitors. And this is kind of cool because there's no range limit because it's tied in with your Wi-Fi or your cellular connection. So you can set up one of the older iPads and have it looking at your baby while she or he is sleeping, and you can watch that from your iPhone or any connected device, which is kind of a cool feature.
Absolutely brilliant. Love it.
And it'll work on the older models. Next up, number three, you can use a tablet or your iPad as a smart home hub. We're getting more and more connected devices like smart lights and Roombas and stuff. You can basically wall mount a tablet or an iPad and just dedicate it to running your smart home.
So I did something similar with this. I 3D printed a mount for my iPad Pro, my old 13-inch iPad Pro, and I used guided access to lock it into the Home app. So basically, you can't go anywhere else. You can just use the Home app, which means that all of those features are instantly accessible to anybody who has that iPad in front of them. It's made it a whole lot easier to turn lights on and off and set scenes without having to reach for your smartphone.
This one's for the iPad folks out there. You can actually use your iPad as a second screen, which is kind of cool for your Mac. There's third-party apps. Two of them are called Splashtop Wired X Display and Duet Display. And it allows you to connect your iPad to another computer and extend your display. So that's great if you're mobile and traveling. Do you know what I mean? And you want that extra real estate? You know, maybe you're doing some spreadsheets on one, you got email going on the other. This is a great way to wirelessly connect the iPad or even just use a USB cable, which is kind of cool.
And some of these apps like Splashtop do work perfectly on a Windows computer as well.
Oh, so you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have left for the program. Again, go to our website, getconnectedmedia.com. We're going to be giving away a TCL 5G smartphone. This thing is beautiful. All you have to do is watch a cool video that we've done that teaches you how to use technology to care for aging family members. It's a series called Independence Days. We've got a link right on our front webpage there again, getconnectedmedia.com. Don't forget to tune in to our sister show, The App Show. It's on every weekend across the Chorus Radio Network as well. We'll be talking about streaming. Has the streaming boom gone bust? We'll also talk about our top five Wi-Fi hacks to get better connections in your home. And the latest Apple rumors. There's going to be a big announcement next week, and everyone thinks it's going to be a new Apple VR headset. We'll tell you what we've heard. I want to thank Gray for coming in and all the rest of the folks that helped put the program together. We'll see you again next time.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.